Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Can we get serious now?
One thing that did happen during the 60s was some music of an unusual or experimental nature did get recorded and did get released. Now look at who the executives were in those companies at those times. Not hip young guys. These were cigar-chomping old guys who looked at the product that came and said, I don't know. Who knows what it is? Record it, stick it out of it, sells, all right. We were better off with those guys than we are now with the supposedly hip young executives who are making the decisions of what people should see and hear in the marketplace.
Success in the music business begins with a dream, a vision. This podcast will give you, the listener, the insight and tools to turn that vision into a reality. Meet the industry professionals who work day by day behind the scenes, helping to make those dreams come true. Welcome to the business side of music.
Today, I'm not going to use the word old because that's not fair.
That's not.
The only one that's old is me. But a compadre of mine that I've known for many, many years is on the show today. And we're going to talk about something that I have a special place in my heart for, and that's radio promotions. Jennifer Blair is with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's so good to finally see you again. It's been a few years.
It's been a bit.
Yeah. Radio promotions. You've been in the game now for a few years.
Yep.
You actually started out at Bullseye.
I did.
Which back in the day was really kind of one of the independent radio promoters to
right.
go with. And then you went out on your own. You've been doing that for, what, 13 years now?
13 years, yeah. 2006.
Yeah. Radio has changed quite a bit.
Oh, yes, a little bit.
One of the things that constantly see all the time, and I hope we can cover a wide gamut of topics when it comes to radio. Is radio still viable like it used to be? You know, back in the day, in the label days, you know, we always focused on the Billboard stations and the R&R stations. And of course, I'm going way back, and then it was Gavin, and now
right.
it's Music Row.
Right.
And the purpose of that was to break an artist and get a hit out there and sell the albums. And we're not selling albums anymore. Now we have Spotify, and we have Pandora, and we have all of these other platforms. Where does radio fit into that?
I think people still listen because I think people like local news. They still want to hear about the local weather, things that are going on in their town. I still have stations that do Trading Post. So I think people are still interested in radio.
Is radio still a good way to break an artist?
Definitely.
How?
I think I'm dating myself. But I don't download a whole lot. Like, I like to physically hold something. And I just think that people want to hear the stuff on the radio. They want to hear their favorite song on the radio. So I think, I mean, there are kids, my kids download. You know, we've already listened to that, Mom. We got on Spotify 2 weeks ago. So, but for me, I think people are still want to hear this things on radio.
When we talk about radio, one of the things that pops up, and we discussed this before the show.
Yes.
The artists, and I see it on Facebook, and some of it is so cringeworthy, is, hey, I just made number one on such and such, you know, X,
right.
Y, Z, ABC charts. And I look at that, and I go, what is that relevance? And let's face it, we have Billboard.
Right.
Which are, there are two panels in Billboard,
yes.
correct? And then we have Music Row.
Right.
Which is kind of what, the second level?
Secondary, tertiary markets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say the B level probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have all of these other charts, all of these other reporting panels that is kind of a hodgepodge. And we haven't even talked about Americana yet, which we'll touch on a little
right.
bit. When I see these artists who I absolutely love, and I think they've got great music, but they're going, yeah, I'm on this chart. Does that mean anything at all? I mean, what is that a representation of?
I don't think the listener or somebody going to a show goes, oh my God, they are number 15 on the chart. They don't care. The listener, average listener, doesn't care about the chart number or what label they're on. They don't, it's just not relevant to them. Now, from a radio standpoint, from a program director, a music director, yes, they are interested. Hey, the song is growing. It's 65 on the chart. We need to take a look at it. We, you know, it's doing something. So they're interested, I think, from that side. But I don't think the average listener's going, oh, my God, they're number 15 or whatever, because I don't think that they care.
does the program director or the music director, do they look at the other charts, though?
Some do.
Yeah.
Yeah, some do. Like, I talked to one today that I talked to every Tuesday. He's like, you know, I didn't even have any drops on my media base side. So I know he's talking about the major label acts is what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So they do. Some go by, rely on a little too much, I think. A great example of that is Chris Jansen, Take a Drunk Girl Home. That song was on the Music Row chart for 52 weeks. Nobody worked it. And it's because stations were seeing it on media base.
Was that something that was just very organic and it kind of grew
I think
itself?
So. But I think because it would go negative, then it would be back up the next week. And we were like, please take the drunk girl home. Let's get it. We've got to be done. Because nobody worked it. But I think it was because people were going, oh, it's really taking off on media base. They were kind of watching that. So I think that's what kind of kept that record alive. Not that it wasn't a great song, because it is, but...
But 52 weeks on a chart.
That's a whole year.
And that's kind of like abnormal.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
What is the life of a song on a chart these days?
Usually, I like to say about 16 to 20 weeks, but they do, for the most part, go longer. Just because it takes the station, the program director, the music director, whoever's doing the music, it takes them longer to listen to it.
And that's primarily country, because pop is a whole different
pop
world.
Pop is a whole lot faster. You
know, yeah, because I remember working an artist that we took to pop radio, and I think it was at the end of 8 or 9 weeks, the record label says, there's no life. We're not getting anywhere. Yeah,
right.
We're done. Yank.
Right. Right.
And then Christian radio is a whole different element because,
right.
You know, that can take 6 months
yep.
to really get something. And then jazz, I don't think jazz has, you know, it's just throw it out there and see if it sticks.
Yeah.
And, you know, but 52 weeks for a country. I mean, and you're trying to make room for other
right.
acts on,
right.
on that chart.
Right. And another thing, too, usually if a song goes number one, they'll say, hey, we're done with it. We'll put it in recurrent.
How long will it live number one?
So usually on Music Row, it's about a week, unless they say, hey... Because sometimes there'll be a release that the song may be 8 or 10 weeks old, and they're like, well, we don't want to come off of it because the song's not that old.
Yeah.
So they'll keep it in. It may go number one the next week, but usually they'll just put it in recurrent.
Do songs get to number one that quick?
It depends on... It just depends.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a while because the song may fluctuate. Top 10, go back to 8. You know, you just don't ever know. It's hard to predict.
Let's talk about Music Row for a second, which originally was Gavin.
Yes.
How many songs are any given time on that chart?
Oh, wow. About 200. But
so that's like right up there with Americana.
Right, but you don't chart. You're considered charted if you're at number 80.
Okay.
Does it make sense? So,
yeah.
So the published version that comes out that Thursday, if you're 80 or above, it's printed section.
But at any given time, 200 songs.
Oh, easy 250, easy 215, you know. And take into account, too, some of those songs on that chart are over, so they may be negative.
They're working their way down.
Right.
Yeah, they're over the hill.
Right.
Out of those 200, so let's say out of 200 and the chart starts showing activity at 80,
mm-hmm.
so you've got 120 songs out there that conceivably are being worked. Are those actively being pursued by radio promotions teams or the artists working it or a combination of both?
Combination of both, because there is one record label, major label, that does not work their singles to Music Row.
Really?
They do not care about Music Row, which they're missing a big boat on, I think. Because when you have a B-level act like a Ray Lynn.
You're right.
I'm telling you who the label is, I guess. But Love Triangle was such a great song, and I had stations going, nobody's called me on it. I guess I'll drop it. But they spun it, and they reported it. But nobody worked the record to them, which I thought was a great song.
What's the logic there?
I don't know.
Or lack thereof.
Or maybe they're really concerned about... Media pay. They're concerned about a reporting radio. But to me, if you have a B-level act, I mean, you have to go for all of it. Like, get a story or something. Like, why would you not expand on that?
Because let's jump to that A-level chart, which is Billboard.
Right.
An independent artist not necessarily going to see any light of day on that. Or are they?
Some I have had on Indicator, which is sort of like Music Row.
Right.
So they're indicating what they're going to play, projecting.
The other one is Monitor, right?
Correct.
Right.
So I may have a client that says, hey, we're doing Music Row and Indicator. So, and there are stations that report both to Music Row and Indicator. So you really focus
on
those.
We say Indicator, we're talking about Billboards.
Correct.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are some that are saying, hey, we're doing both. So then you really want to get those guys that cross over to report it to both.
But does that independent artist then track over to, does that translate over to Billboard Monitored, or is it pretty much just live in the Indicator world?
I think it lives mostly in the Indicator world.
Yeah. Is Monitor just absorbed with just the major label acts?
Pretty much.
And there's really no room for anybody else there. Because, and the reason I bring that up is, once again, I hear artists who say, yeah, I'm going to spend money and get on Billboard. And I have to ask him, are we talking about Indicator? Because you're talking about Monitor. Somebody's taking your money. And
somebody is promising you some stuff. Because it's I've had people that have done it, and it's very, very, very expensive.
Then what do you get in return for that? Because if you're up against a Carrie Underwood, or you're up against a Toby Keith, or Faith Hill, or Tim McGraw, whoever, those are some big guns out there that are not only getting some great radio play, but touring to back it up. And that's the other thing. If you're getting some radio play, you've got to be out there working it too.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
We're going to talk about radio touring, because I think that's something, when we come back from the break, that every artist needs to take into consideration.
Yes.
And you and I have both worked radio tours in our lives.
Yes.
Either behind the desk or out on the road. Mm-hmm. And it's tough. And then I want to get into kind of the day in the life of a radio promotions person and what it is they exactly do, because I think that's something we all need to know, that dark and mysterious world.
Yes.
In the studio with us today, Jennifer Blair, and we're talking about all things radio promotions.
Hi there, this is Michael Blanton, and I'm with Songwriting University, and you are listening to The Business Side of Music.
You're listening to The Business Side of Music.
Nashville Zoo comes to life at night with magical glowing animals, gigantic flower gardens, colossal Chinese figures, and a 200-foot-long dragon. It's Zoo Lumination, Chinese Festival of Lights. Meet Santa in a two-story holiday village with a towering Christmas tree and giant train. More than 500 lanterns spread across the zoo, making this the largest lantern event in the country. Come experience this 800-year-old tradition, Zoo Lumination, November 15th through February 2nd. Learn more at NashvilleZoo.org.
Hi, everyone. I'm Larry Butler, and I want to send you a free digital copy of my new book, The Singer-Songwriter Rulebook, 101 Ways to Help You Improve Your Chances of Success. That's right. Everything you need to know to launch your career as a singer-songwriter, all based on my 40 years in the live performance arena. And believe me, I've seen it all. In my book, you'll find the 10 things you have to deal with before even thinking about becoming a singer-songwriter performer. You'll also learn about the 5 things every singer-songwriter can do this weekend to make their live show better. 5 things I can guarantee that you are not doing already. Plus, there's tips on songwriting and staging, photo and video shoots, publishing, merch, dozens of other topics, all written for people who don't particularly like to read. And again, it's free. Just go to the Business Side of Music website homepage and look for my book cover. Click on it, and a free digital copy of my book will be yours. I'm Larry Butler, and I approve of this message. Thanks.
You're listening to the Business Side of Music.
Back in the studio, Jennifer Blair is sitting across the table from us here in Nashville, Tennessee, talking about all things radio promotions. And I know we're focusing on country music because that's your wheelhouse that you work in. But radio promotions is still basically radio promotions, whatever the format is. It doesn't change a lot. It doesn't matter whether it's pop or it's rock or it's hip hop or country or Americana. Radio promotions, and you mentioned this during the break, Florida Georgia Line was one of those acts that Independent at the time.
Didn't have a label deal. No.
And they were out there working it.
Yeah, they must have been, because I was like, who is this? Like, who's working this? It was top five. And I know John Marks was also instrumental in that, because he was at the time, I believe he was still at XM. He's now at Spotify. And he played the record. And he liked the record. And they were, I believe they were with Big Loud, and then they were signed to Big Machine shortly after. After that, I think it was Cruise was the first single.
And everything after that was history.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But once again, it shows that the independent artist gets out there and does the work.
Right.
They can make it. Along with doing that work, it's not, let me say this, it's all about relationships.
Correct.
It really is. And we had this conversation before the show about a mutual friend of ours.
Right.
Who came from a major label, actually a couple major labels, worked with some big artists, and has now diversified into a brand new label. And is having a bit of a difficulty getting phone calls returned or emails returned.
Right.
So that person comes to you and says, hey, Jennifer, can you help me out? And with you, it's all about those relationships that you have developed over the years.
Right.
That is so important, isn't
totally.
It?
Totally. It is.
Not only from getting airplay, getting the single added, getting some spins, but then on that radio tour, getting in the door.
Getting the visit.
Radio tours. Let's talk about that for a minute. As an independent artist, is there a place for an independent artist on a radio tour?
Absolutely. I think they're imperative.
They have to. They have to get
out
there.
They have to.
With that being said, radio, I remember back in the heyday of, you know, the mid to late 90s when I was doing radio tours, we would be walking into a radio station as another artist would be walking out.
Yeah.
And as we were leaving, there's either a van or a car or a tour bus pulling. I mean, it was just like, it was a merry-go-round.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still going on these days?
Yes.
It is.
And I've had people, because I've gone on a few and with the artist, and they may not, the PD may not be crazy about the song, but they'll love the artist and they'll add the record. So, you know, I always say they do more for their friends than they do strangers. So once you have that relationship, usually they'll add. I mean, so I think it's because they feel like they know you, you've stopped by. Because a lot of the major artists don't really care about music row stations. You know, they're just not. Toby Keith's probably not going to stop by a music row station.
Right.
So. But hey, she took the time out. She came to visit. She brought donuts or whatever. They remember that.
And I was going to say, that's always important.
Food is so important.
Yeah, especially in the breakfast. Bring the donuts and the orange juice.
Yep.
Yep. Or the milk or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When an artist is going to plan on doing a radio tour, should they break it out regionally? Should they break it out locally? Should they do it nationally? What's the smart move for them initially?
If they're here, I always say, hey, we need to go to Bowling Green or we need to go to Muscle Shoals because they're close by. Pulaski, Tennessee is close by. Lawrenceburg. If they say, hey, I want to hit Arkansas, well, then you hit Searcy, Conway. I think it just depends on where you are, where you're located. But usually there's like a group, like there's a group of Arkansas, Missouri is a great route, or Iowa, Wisconsin. So
small bites.
I think so,
to
yeah.
Get started,
right,
yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And then they'll say, hey, we just saw you. Like all the stations kind of know who's visited.
They talk to each other?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, I think it's imperative.
When you're going to put a radio tour together, it's not necessarily weekend warrior work because you need to get into the stations Monday through Friday, am I right?
Right.
And it's like from 7 a.m. to maybe 7 p.m.
Right.
On those 4 or 5 days a week. And then when you go in, should you be prepared to play? Are you going to need to do an acoustic performance?
Usually what they'll do is an acoustic performance, maybe one or two songs, and they'll usually play the single over on the air. Or if they have time, they'll do a couple of songs acoustic. So
how much time should an artist plan on spending in each radio station?
I would say give about 30 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
And then your next stop, just so you can kind of gauge and go, okay, I've got to be here an hour and a half, you know, kind of.
Yeah, don't wear out your welcome.
Correct.
But take as much time as you can.
And sometimes they'll say, hey, if you could just do a song, and then it ends up being an hour because they like them. So they'll end up playing a lot.
An independent artist going out on the road and doing the radio tour is not cheap.
No.
Should they be taking a radio promotions person with them? Who makes that phone call to get them in the door? Can the independent artist, and we're talking about Music Row right now, and we'll talk about non-reporting stations in a minute, but should they pick up the phone and call these stations, or should they be hiring someone to make those phone calls that has relationships? It's obviously, I would think, going to work better.
It works better if you have somebody that's already working the record, but I will tell you, I'm working an artist right now. She's 4 singles deep, and her mom goes on the road with her. And I was like, you know, how's that going to be with mom? But they'll say, well, we're going to New York. They'll take care of it. Like, they do the route. I mean, they've gone. So they just let me know. Then I get feedback. Hey, how was the visit? So, but usually initially, because it's a no-no for them to call the stations. I don't like, if they want to call and thank the station for playing, that's fine. But don't call and ask for an ad.
Should they call and ask for a station visit?
I don't think there's really much harm in that. Hey, if they're going to be in your area, I don't think it's as much harm as asking to play my song.
Yeah.
I don't think it's terrible. No, I don't think it's that bad.
I took an artist out on a radio tour some years ago, and we just primarily did Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was while we were in the car, calling kind of the old Loretta Lynn,
absolutely,
you know, Doolittle Lynn.
Yes.
We're in the car and, hey, we're going to be in Lufkin, Texas, or we're going to be in Midland.
Yeah.
Let's call the station and see if we can come on by. And, you know, about half the time it worked for us.
Yeah.
The other half time, either didn't get an answer or it was like, no, we're not interested.
Mm-hmm.
But then we would get enough of those stations in to where we could come back and say, hey, we were just at WXYZ or, you know.
Right.
Does that still work?
I think it does.
Getting on the phone as
absolutely.
You're traveling.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or thank you for playing my record. I'm working with Mandy Barnett right now. She recut The End of the World and did a wonderful job on it. But do you need me to do anything? I said, if you will call these stations and thank them for spending you. I said, they get the biggest kick out of it, especially it being her. So anytime they get recognized, because a lot of those stations are ignored, they love to hear from the artist. Thank you for playing my record.
What about the non-reporting stations? Getting into that whole tertiary, right, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. Are they interested in artists coming by?
Yes.
And does it make sense?
I think it does. If they're on the route, they may have a fair that the artist can play or a TV show. We've done that before. So, and you don't know if that station's going to end up reporting. Captain Jack, who had Renegade Nashville here, was the first internet station to report. So, and he's still on the panel. So he is the only reporting station that's internet. So you just, you never know.
Yeah.
So they may get reporting status one day.
I know Americana is a lot that way, that it is a combination of internet and brick and mortar radio stations.
Right.
And their panels probably, Debbie and I were talking about this on the way here, 60 to 70 stations deep reporting, but they will play 150, 200 songs.
Because they play album cuts, isn't that correct?
Yeah,
they'll play cuts. Yeah.
And they'll
okay.
choose what they want to play. So
right.
they're not driven by consultants. Let's talk about consultants.
Oh, our favorite. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
When I was working radio, we had three or four consultants. We had one in Dothan, Alabama. We had one in Dallas, Texas. We had one in Seattle, Washington. And they really, we had to go visit them.
Yes.
It was as important to visit them as it was the radio stations.
Yes.
Is it still that way?
There are some that are like that.
Yeah.
Especially on the indicator side, there is a promoter that does nothing but promote to the consultant.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, like has a great in with Keith Hill, or and people hire him for that because he's got the in with those guys.
And that gets you in the door. It still doesn't guarantee airplay, though.
Right, especially if they have a cluster of stations, which some are Music Row that are consulted. Yeah, it can help for sure.
Taking the consultant in consideration, taking the radio promotion person or team or company into consideration, you should probably put a budget together.
Correct.
If I wanted to work a song at radio, and let me put it this way. If someone came to me and said, hey, I can get you played on X number of stations, and it's this dollar amount, and I go, wow, that's too good to be true. Is it probably
too? It probably is.
Yeah. Because when you are on the phone, and I know this because you and I communicate via Messenger, you're always on the phone.
I am.
I'll get back to you later.
Yeah.
You know, I'm making calls right now. When your day starts, how long are you on the phone?
It depends on the station.
And the day, right? Because you're going for ads.
Tuesday and like Tuesday and Wednesdays are terrible. They're horrible.
And we have
and we're here
on
Tuesday, but it's okay. They're horrible because most guys take their calls on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
So Monday is totally, you know, fine, but that's just, there's like 10 to 12. There's just a bulk handful of calls that you've got to get in.
But you're spending a lot of time, and time is money. You have to make a living because this is what you do for a living.
Right.
So if that promoter comes, that radio promoter comes and says, I can do this for a couple hundred bucks, you really have to think that one through.
Right.
Because let's face it, let's get back to that budget, because you got to pay someone to do radio promotions, or do you pay two or three promoters? Do you work more than one?
I have some acts that I'm working now that it's me by myself, or there's some that I'm on other teams with. And I always say, if you really want to attack that chart, you need at least two people.
Okay.
That makes
sense.
Two
independent of each other.
Yeah. I think if you're saying, hey, I really want to be on that chart, it takes two people. Now, with that being said, to me, you can have too many. Because I've had it happen and work a record. There's six people on it. Oh, my God. I will add the record if y'all will quit bugging me. Like, they just asked me. So sometimes that can hurt you if you have too many. Because I have had that happen.
It's like the artist who will have six different booking agents out there booking them. And after a while, you'll talk to the buyer, you know, whether it's a festival buyer or a venue, and they'll go, who do I talk to? You know, because I'm getting...
It's too many.
Yeah, it's too many.
It's too many.
So one or two promoters.
I think so,
yeah. So you need a budget for that.
Right.
You need to do your homework and figure out who's got the chops that can do what needs to be accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to put that budget together to get out on the road and do that radio tour. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Radio promotions, how long does it typically take? And I know that's kind of a very abstract question.
Right.
If I'm going to come to you and say, hey, Jennifer, I've got this single. I want you to work it.
Okay.
I think it's going to do killer. We're kind of getting some positive vibes from it. How long should I plan on retaining your services? Is it for the life of the song, or is it per month, or how does that work?
I usually do the life of the single, which is about 16 to 20 weeks.
Yeah.
But they usually go longer because it takes them longer to listen. There's just so many records out there, and it takes them longer to listen. I used to take a chart record in 4 weeks. Like, I could put it out, be done. Yeah, you're at 80, but not anymore. because there's so many records out there.
So you hire the promoter for the life of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And then how long should that radio tour be? If you say you're going to hit 2-3 regions of the country to try and get something developed, 5 days a week for a month or so, or a couple weeks?
I would say a couple weeks, come home, take a break, and then go back out maybe to the next region, you know, like, because you can hit you can probably hit 3 or 4 stations in a day.
Right.
Right. So I don't think you need large amounts of time, no.
Good to hear. We're going to take another break, get another word in for our sponsor. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up, talk a little more radio promotions here.
All right.
In the studio with us, Jennifer Blair.
Hello, this is Michael Elsner with Master Music Licensing, and you're listening to another edition of The Business Side of Music.
You're listening to The Business Side of Music.
Wow, I just joined the Music Starts Here community. This is a truly hidden gem for anyone in the music business. Whether you live in Nashville or anywhere else in the world, Music Starts Here is like a GPS for your music career. This is the place to be if you want to get advice and direction from some seriously talented musical people who have been where you want to go. Music news, events, and a great big community with resources for artists, songwriters, musicians, studio and tech, along with music business advice from pros in the industry, all on one site. Make sure you get your free profile now. Go to www.musicstartshere.org. That's musicstartshere.org.
You're listening to The Business Side of Music.
Back in the studio, Jennifer Blair sitting across the table from me. As we take a break, my wife and her are negotiating a deal for an artist. So
we are.
You know, we're always moving and cutting deals here.
That's it.
Getting back into the radio promotions game, I want to talk for a minute about the non-reporters. And I keep going back to and Americana, too. Is you really need to find, as an artist, your market. You need to find what your demographics are. You, when I say that, your fan base. And it also comes down to that with the radio that you're going to work. Maybe you're a country artist, mm-hmm. and that would track well on Music Row,
right.
or Indicator, Billboard Indicator.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're more of kind of a pop folk acoustic artist, mm-hmm. and then, you know, you need to figure, or roots, blues, you know, so you need to find that panel. And when we say panel, it's that grouping of stations
right.
that are playing that particular brand, that style of music. Getting out there, that's a key thing, is finding out really where you have a home and getting into that. You mentioned one artist during the break that they weren't necessarily looking for chart action. They were
right.
just looking for awareness
mm-hmm.
to get that person out there. And the reason you want to do that is to start filling some dates on the calendar mm-hmm. to get performing. So radio can really play a key component in that. Does it make sense as an artist to go to these stations and maybe offer to do a brown bag lunch? Are we still
sure.
doing those kind of things anymore?
Sure. Anything to do with food, of course. So,
yeah,
and then going to visit and saying, hey, you know, people remember that. Hey, they came by. You know, I'm working with an artist that visited a station in Louisiana twice. And he said, I cannot believe you came back. And she said, of course I would. And that made his day that she would even travel on that route to go see him because she went on the first single. And he said, they usually don't come back. After one visit, then that's it.
So that's something to really keep in consideration.
Absolutely, yep. Yes.
With these program directors and music directors, and so let me ask you this, which is really that key person you need to see when you go to those stations? Do they wear both the same hat in some stations? Is
they
it two
do.
Different individuals?
They do. They do. Like, I was talking to one in Pennsylvania today, and they were trying to find her to get her on the phone, and she's like, I'm so sorry, I had to go do something with sales. So they're in sales, they're doing music, so it's not like it used to be. That one program director, music director has other jobs. It's just people have cut back.
And it's carving out the time to get them on the phone.
Yes, absolutely.
Does it make sense to try and get them on the phone from the beginning? Should you try an email? You know, all of the above? You know,
all of them.
How do you get your foot in that door?
Like, you know, they may say, hey, I'm out this week. If you can email, that's fine. I never have a problem with that. Or there's some, it's like, hey, can you email me Monday? I'm going to look at music, you know. Or I'll text them because I mean, and they've said, and I've had that happen. Hey, I'm out. Can you text me? Just text me with your list, like what you need. So I don't think it can be too much.
On a given day, especially going for ads from a radio station perspective, how big is that stack of songs they have to go through?
It just depends.
Yeah.
They used to say, oh, don't release before Christmas. It doesn't matter anymore. There's still, I mean, I'm still, like, if you look in Billboard, the weekly thing that comes out every Monday night, there's still things going for ads all through December. So it's not slowed down.
So it used to be the charts would freeze after Thanksgiving,
right,
and they wouldn't open back up until December 26th. Not that way anymore?
No, we our last chart is December the 19th, and we come back the 9th of January.
January.
So the last chart is
December
19th.
So it's down for 3 weeks or so.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you should still be working to get ads during that time.
Yes, and there are like four or five stations on Music Row right now that are frozen. They're done for the year because they went all Christmas.
Yeah.
I had a couple stations that went all Christmas. So,
is that as prevalent as it used to be?
Going all Christmas?
Yeah.
I don't think it like it used to be.
Yeah.
Just I think I had three that went all Christmas. One was on vacation. So I know one station took a poll on Facebook, should we go all Christmas? And that was their fact. That was their deciding factor.
So let's jump to that for a second. You talk about Facebook. Is that a good place for an artist to start with that single or put it on YouTube, submit it to Spotify and try and get in different people's playlists? Will radio look at whatever that action that is going on?
Right. I don't think they care as much for like downloads. Like they're not really... But I usually do Play MPE. Remember Play MPE?
Yep.
Because it's fast. It's right there. I've been on the phone. They're like, oh, let me search it. Like, oh, here it is. And they'll listen to the song right then and there. I am working with an artist that is doing Spotify promotion to get on the different playlists and stuff. So it just depends. But usually the initial start, I guess, would be to get it out to radio.
Yeah. When we talk about getting it out to radio, are we talking these days digital downloads versus CDs? I know CDX is still out there.
It is.
Which is the big compilation
CD.
CD. Should you focus on primarily an MP3 file and maybe go through Play MPE? Or
I've done, like, usually initially I go through Play MPE and then they say, hey, I can't find it, because that does happen. I will send them the MP3.
Okay.
So if they say, hey, I can't find it, or can you send that to me? So they don't have to look.
Does it make sense to create a hard physical CD single?
I don't think it hurts. It's another impression.
Yeah.
But, you know, so.
Hopefully it winds up on their desk and not in the landfill.
Or as a table, you know, so the legs don't wobble.
Yeah.
So.
Or a coaster.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
That stuff happens.
It does.
If an independent artist wants to hire you, how do they find you?
You can call me or text me. I love text. And let me tell you why I love text, because I'm on the phone all the time. 615-319-2737 is my phone.
What's that again?
615-319-2737.
Your phone's going to ring off the wall.
I hope.
Just so
call me.
Jennifer, thanks so much.
Thank you.
This has been great.
Thank you.
The Business Side of Music is the creation of Tom Sabella and Tracy Snow and is produced by Bob Bender. The Business Side of Music is recorded at Music Dog Studios in Los Angeles, California and Nashville, Tennessee. Production sound designed by Keith Stark. Voiceover and promo by Lisa Fusan.
Shut up. We know you can play.
All righty then.